Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to episode number 30. Woo! Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave. I am Crew Chief Tony alongside the Professor Brandon Kraut. How you doing, B?
What's up, sir?
Post-Eldora action.
Oh, dude, it took a day to recover from Eldora, let me tell you, man.
All right, you're lying. It's only a day, but all right, you can tell your tell your sponsor it was only a day, but I know it was more than a day to recover from that party. But
perhaps
that was a good time. Lots of good racing and man just great stuff, man.
Absolutely
great stuff. But speaking of great stuff,
yes,
on the line joining us from Stuart Haas Racing, driver of the Ford 00 Haas Automation from the Xfinity Series, is Mr. Cole Custer. Cole, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, congratulations. Great run at Indianapolis.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Really good run. You're killing it this year, man.
Hell yeah.
We're super happy to have you on. But walk us through. I mean, whole new deal, right? Indy, number one. New package, new plate, new aero, new everything. You guys seem to have a pretty good handle on it, though. So walk us through your day.
Yeah, I mean, we did a really good job, I feel like, getting our car pretty close for a new package, with an aero package and different, motor and everything. So it's just, it was really good by our team to really figure out something really fast, and I was really, really happy with that. So that's cool, and it felt like it was pretty decent racing. I mean, it's hard for me to say because I haven't raced there before, and I've never really gotten experience with a different package, but I felt like it was pretty great. It could be better, but it was definitely fun to get to push each other around a little bit and draft a little, and it was definitely interesting for sure.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, the whole thing of just being on the track at Indy's got to be cool, right? I mean, that in itself is a whole new thing. Different aero package, working at the what? So, what did you like? What didn't? What could be better? What if you got to tweak things? What would you do?
It was hard to pass, I'd say, the first 10 laps or so. You know, the restarts were still really important, and that's where all the moves would mostly be made. And it would take about 10 laps for handling to come into play to where you could actually make a pass. Because some guys were a little bit more trimmed out and went for speed instead of handling, so they'd kind of fall off after about 15 laps. And it took that time to really start to make it so you could make some passes, and it was just kind of hard to. The car sucked up pretty well, but they didn't. They could maybe suck up a little bit better, I feel like. And if you had a push, also it made it a lot easier to pass. So it was good to have some teammates out there if you had them. But it was definitely interesting. I think it was definitely worth a try for sure.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I thought was interesting about this is that different from Daytona and Talladega. NASCAR allowed the teams to choose their own rear spring, right? So do you think that was good, bad, or?
Yeah, I think that was good. I mean, it seems like there's enough of a handling issue where guys won't get too crazy with rear springs. But it's probably not as big of a deal there as it is at Talladega, I mean, or Daytona, just because you have more of a handling issue. So that's, you kind of have to go a little bit more on the handling side, but you definitely could make changes on with your rear springs. You could, you know, we change rear springs in practice just to try and get more speed out of it, try and make it a little bit
less.
Well,
yeah, that's why I was asking. I mean, you know, they would say, what I read was like, you know, it was Indy in the corners, but it was Talladega on the straightaways. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're running through different springs just to try and get the car lower in the back to get the spoiler out of the air. And then, you know, you're trying not to go too low because then you start getting, you just lose the handling in your car. So it's just, you're kind of messing around with that, just trying to get the balance that you want as a team. And then you just kind of go from there.
So
Hey, Colt, so Stuart Haas has been no stranger to the Cup side of things, but this is their first year with a full-time Xfinity ride. What was that process like? When did you get the call? Do you work much and you know, get share notes and get ideas and stuff like that? Do you interact with their Cup team at all or from a learning perspective, anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was crazy in the off season. I mean, it was put together really fast. I mean, when we started in December, I mean, there was nothing in the shop, no shelves, no anything, no parts.
Oh, wow.
So to get to where we are now, it was like our guys worked extremely long hours, and it's something that I'm really thankful for. I mean, those guys, they would stay till 9 o'clock at night every single day through December and January just to try and get caught up. So,
cool.
That's what they did.
So
yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you come from zero.
Yeah,
to where you're at now.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so through 18 races, Cole, you got 3 top fives, 8 top tens, and you're sitting 6th in points as a rookie. And Tony and I know we look at Xfinity regular finishes compared against the Cup guys. And when you're able to go out there and get top fives and top tens with a field that might have 5 or 6 Cup guys in it, I mean, that tells us, like, this guy's coming, and he's going to come in with a blaze of glory. You know, there are a ton of rookies that are up there in the top 10 in points right now in the Xfinity Series. Do you lean on anyone else from a competitor standpoint in terms of bouncing stuff off other rookies out there? You know, what's the camaraderie like with the Xfinity rookie class right now?
It's pretty good, I'd say. I mean, we have our rookie meetings every single new track that we go to, and we set up in the NASCAR hauler and they go over the track and what we kind of think of it and everything. And it's kind of interesting because we don't really know what's going to happen. So.
Yeah. So what's it like? I mean, you're out there and then, you know, you look in your mirror and you got, you got Joey Logano and or Kyle Busch laying on you. I mean, what do you learn, what do you learn just running side by side, bumper to bumper with those guys?
Really, you just learn how much you can push a car, honestly. I mean, you learn some things about the line and everything, but, I mean, those guys are just insane about how aggressive they can be, and they know exactly the edge, like, where you can push it. So it's really, I really feel like that's the biggest part of it.
Yeah, so, I'll tell you what, I am absolutely amazed right now, the drivers that are coming through the series. I mean, you know, Xfinity, truck. It's absolutely insane right now. Is there anybody out there that you would say, yeah, this is the other guy? I mean, or maybe if I wish this driver had more funding because this guy's really fast. You know, because I know, you know, when I ran, like, there were guys that I trusted and I know they were good, but maybe they didn't get the break, or maybe they didn't get. What are the other guys out there that you like running with or wish they had a break?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, some of the guys are, you know, making their way right now, like Chase Briscoe and Ford LaJoy. I feel like those two guys are really, really have a lot of talent, and they're pretty good. You know, they're making their way up in the series right now, and hopefully they'll be in the Cup Series and maybe in a little bit better rides and everything in the future. But I think there's another guy. I mean, I'm really good friends with, and I might be just saying it because he's my friend, but I think honestly that he is one of the better young guys out there is Brandon McReynolds. I mean, I've learned a lot from him, and I feel like he's really smart, and he drives really good, and I feel like that's a really good guy that doesn't really have much funding right now, who's really trying to get a ride, but I think he could really do something if he got something.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, your friends in Detroit, we'll try to push him a little bit on Twitter. We'll try to get him a little more publicity too.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
Colt. So we're coming into the home stretch for the regular season 2017. One of the things that when I look at the standings from the Xfinity side of things, it's tight knit in terms of playoff points and things of that nature. So what are you guys looking to work on? What's some strategy going in here for the home stretch of the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the driver's chase fine. We just need to pass one more car to get in the owner's points for the chase. So we're kind of wanting to do that. So we're going to try and stay consistent and point our way into that. But also, I mean, we're going to get into the chase here soon, and we want to have bonus points. You want to have stage wins, and you want to have wins, and because that's going to help you going into the chase and get you through the round. So, I mean, you look at the 9 car with Willie and Byron, and they're going to be pretty set going into the chase. So you want to just position yourself for sure when you get in there, and that's we need to try and get some stage wins and some wins to try and get some more points.
Now, you guys are going into Iowa this week, and that was a pretty quick turnaround. You guys were just at Iowa a couple weeks ago. So anything that you're taking from that race and making some different changes at going this time?
Yeah, for sure. We've our short track stuff has been – every single short track race, we've been extremely fast in practice. We've been top five, and then we just – in the race, we just get too tight. Just we just need to find a better way to get the balance in the car. So we're going with a different package this week, and we're going to try and figure that out, but hopefully we can get it a little bit better. We know we have fast cars. We just need to maybe get it a little bit better in the mechanical side, and I think we'll definitely be pretty strong this week, because I think we're learning a lot of stuff on our short track stuff.
Well, you know, you say that, you know, so here's what I think is funny, right? Cole's obviously experienced, right? And you listen to anybody that's listening to the show right now, I mean, they know Cole's good and he's got experience, right? You're 19 years old, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so, but like, you got a ride from Kenny Schrader at what, 15?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, tell us about that real quick. I mean, you're an Orange County guy. If I did my homework properly, right? I'm a former Long Beacher. You came from Orange County to Kenny Schrader Racing and to where you are now. That's not a little jump. I mean, can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a weird deal because we started a K&N team with Haas and everything, and we just needed a place to work at it, really. We needed a shop. So we, Ken Schrader has an ARCA team, and he has a really good shop, and it's really nice. So we decided, let's try and rent out of, you know, Ken Schrader's building. So, and we were able to use some of his, we put his, you know, he was the owner, so we just went from there, and he was an awesome guy to, you know, get to work out of his shop and everything, because he's obviously a legend in the sport. He's one of the most laid-back guys in there. You know, he goes in there and rides motorcycle through the shop and everything, so it was awesome to be there and work with those guys, and definitely a great start for sure.
But I mean just the whole you know, the whole scene, the whole everything, you know, the California's got a great racing scene, but it's different than the North Carolina racing scene, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, California, there's a lot of good racetracks and there's a lot of good racers out there, but it's really spread out, and it's really it's not as big, I'd say, with the whole population, I guess. I mean, it's definitely a good place to grow up and a good place to race, but out here there's definitely a lot more racing, and there's a lot more it's just a lot more of a bigger deal, I'd say, out here to a lot of people. So it was definitely a change coming out here, I'd say.
Yeah, no, I get that. I can see that completely. So, what changes would Cole Custer like to see? I mean, you know, you're at Xfinity. They're asking you, all right, next year, what do you want to do? Points wise, Cup. You know, there's a lot of still more discussion about Cup guys and what races they can run. What's your thoughts on how things could be better in 2018?
Yeah, I think from the Cup guy standpoint, I feel like they did a really good job this year. I feel like taking the right step and trying to limit their races. I think you need to race against them. I think that really makes you better and gets you a perspective of how you're doing and everything. But I think from a fan standpoint, we do put on better racing when they're not in the race.
Yeah, so I think we fully agree with that.
I look back to the Phoenix race this year, which was the first Dash for Cash, I believe. And that race was incredible with just basically the Xfinity regulars that were in there.
Yeah,
so I think if they just limited the Cup guys a little bit more on the races that they could run, I think they still need to be there. But I think if they just limited it a little bit more, I think it would be a little bit better. That's about it.
One thing I know that I'd like to see next year is them award first place stage points to the Xfinity regulars. Would you like to see something like that from a points allocation thing next year?
I don't know. That's something I haven't really thought of before. It would be kind of weird because, you know, the guy who's not finishing first is getting points and everything. But, I mean, it's it would make sense, but I think it makes sense, more sense right now, just because even though it's a Cup guy that might be winning the stage or whatever, you still need to beat that guy. So it is kind of what it is, and you just kind of, I think it's, the rules are the rules, kind of.
Sure. Hey, Cole, you want to give your sponsors a quick plug for Iowa coming up?
Yeah, let us know what 2018's looking like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got Hot Donation on the car again, and always have Hot guests out of the track, and looking forward to that. And hopefully we can, Ford always gives us a lot of support going into the race weekend, so hopefully we can use some of that technology going into the race and hopefully get our cars a little bit better than last time.
Yeah, well, hey, Cole, I got to tell you, man, you have big fans here in Detroit following you. We're about 20 minutes away from Ford World Headquarters here.
Yes.
We're near and dear to our heart. And, of course, we're Haas fans, and the professor here, Brandon, is if he's got a man crush on Kevin Harvick, he might just if things ever go sideways with Delana, he might no.
But it's no, a true story though.
No, but no. So we do follow you a lot. We're rooting for you, and you're welcome back on the show anytime, and we want to thank you very, very much for taking time out of your busy schedule for joining the your friends at Lap Traffic Nation.
Yeah, I appreciate it a ton. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks, man. Dude, how awesome was Cole Custer,
man? He's a nice guy.
That was really nice.
It's crazy to think, as though, and I mentioned it, but, he's been around. He's like an experienced guy, in my opinion.
At 19.
He's 19.
19, and you can put experience on something. That's nuts.
He's running good. He's got a great ride. He's run.
The only thing I was experienced at 19 was drinking.
Yeah, right. And only in Canada.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Like, no, I mean, seriously, yeah. it's impressive,
it's
man.
Crazy.
He's an impressive guy on the track, and it was cool to talk to him and learn that he's an impressive guy off the track.
Totally.
He's a smart guy, personable guy, and
it's
very, very cool.
Tony? Yeah. We just got back from Eldora, man. we went last year, and it was off the charts. We had a great time. This year, man, I mean, we've done a lot of great things around the track, and we really didn't do much in terms of VIP stuff around the track. We just kicked back, hung out with awesome people, and drank.
Lots and lots of listeners.
Yes.
And friends and...
It was
stop by, have a beer, hang out.
We got
good
a
time.
Ton of new followers. It was awesome.
Good
it
time.
Was so cool. And we'll get into that. Let's talk a little bit about the race here first.
Yeah.
So Matt Crafton wins the race and stage one.
Yeah.
And Tony, he had a dominating stage one. It was
and he did.
He was the class of the field in stage one, and then stage two he dropped off. Like I was like, ooh, shoot. Yeah. But
the night before when they had first practice, what was it, Tuesday night?
Yeah.
I go, of course they don't have electronic timing posted and everything's right there, but so I was going by ear, okay, and that's what I usually do with those tracks. I listen to the engines come up. I see who's carrying more RPM,
mm-hmm.
Through the corner and higher, and I didn't even know who it was. I said it's 52. 52 truck is fast.
Yeah.
And it was Stuart Friesen.
Lo and behold, we pulled up the time charts, and you were spot on because he had
there.
The fastest 10-lap average.
Yeah, I did that one.
You're not deaf.
I did that one Stevie Wonder style.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
I did it. But, no, I mean, seriously, you don't have to watch. I mean, you can hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was fast.
Yeah.
And he was really fast. He finished second, didn't he?
Second, yeah. And led a good chunk of that race, too.
Yeah, he did.
So... If you guys had the privilege of listening to the Eldora special, when we recorded that, we said episode 30, but we decided to just label that the Eldora special and let this be the official 30th episode.
Yeah, so it was kind of an ad hoc kind of last
cluster
second,
bleep
kinda,
is what it was.
It was kind of like hold my beer, let's see if this works or not. We didn't have enough microphones and we didn't have enough stuff, but it was in our motorhome.
It was so much fun though. We had a blast.
And there was what six of us.
There were six of us crammed
and we're trying to fight over a couple microphones, and yes. And there were people listening, you know, out in the campground. So we had a speaker out there. So we had another microphone being passed around so that they could hear us in the motorhome, and it was a challenge for sure.
The orange cone held two things in his hand.
He did. Brandon, not Brandon. Actually, the PETM guys, they had a beer in each hand.
Yeah, this they did.
They're good. Yes. They got that down.
Yes. Yeah.
So we'll do better next year on sound quality and
yes,
you know. But
I think if you did listen to it, you could definitely tell the fun that the six of us had just sitting there, BS and NASCAR dirt and.
Yeah,
Wiping sweat off our foreheads.
Rusty and Sherwin are hilarious.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, the orange cone is the orange cone. And Kaz.
Chasm.
Kaz from NASCAR Chasm from NASCAR.com.
Yeah. It was a blast.
I don't know, man. The inside of his brain operates. He's a funny guy.
He is funny. He comes up with some quick.
He does. And you know, hearing some Jack Hewitt stories and all that stuff. Good
stuff.
Very
cool.
So, yes. Very good.
So speaking of everybody, so Tony, it was a blast meeting. And, you know, we've talked to him. We've tweeted with him. We've texted with him, the PETM guys. We finally got to cheers a drink with those guys. And we cheers more than one. Yeah. That was so much fun getting to meet Rusty and Sherwin in person. Great dudes. We broke bread. We drank wine.
We did it all.
And that was a blast. Big thanks again to Orange Cone and NASCAR Chasm for coming literally to our campsite and hanging out for about half an hour.
We just texted them like, hey, man, we're going to be recording your show at 2:00. And Zoom, they were there.
Yep.
Like, wow, okay, cool.
We met a lot, like you said, a lot of new fans, randomly stopped by, saw our stuff, and big thanks to Julie Bosley and her husband, Lori, Barbara, Twitterless Richard, Kathleen, Arnie, Jason Carter, Jordan Anderson, and all of the other people that we got to meet at the Tweet Up. It was a blast. Yeah. We threw out some T-shirts and koozies, and it was just fantastic.
That was a pretty big tweet up.
It's a really big tweet up. That was awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And we'll be doing that again in Michigan here in just a couple weeks, which is nuts to think about. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was cool. And, one of the things that we'd been talking about, we called it. You know,
I called it in the motorhome.
You called it in the motorhome.
Matt Crafton.
But we've been wanting to have Matt Crafton. We're Matt Crafton fans here.
Yes.
So we've been wanting to get Matt on the show.
Yes.
And the deal was that his PR person said, all right, as soon as he wins a race, you guys will be the first show.
Boom. And there it was.
And then we went to the driver meet and greet.
Yes.
And we talked to him and said, hey, Jessica.
Jessica. We name dropped at the
yeah, we did.
Tweet up just to, so we knew we were legit. We're just calling bullshit.
He's looking at us like, you know, we got, you know, six eyes or something. Yeah, what the hell are these guys talking about, you know?
Yes.
And he's like, all right, man, I win. You know, I'm in. I go, all right, so we'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
And he won.
Lo and behold.
So, speaking of... All right, joining us on the line from Thor Sport Racing, driver of the number 88 Goof Off Menards Toyota Tundra and the winner of the 2017 Dirt Derby at Eldora, Mr. Matt Crafton. Matt, thanks for taking time to join us. How are you?
I'm very good. Very good.
Awesome.
Been a good week.
I think it was.
It is. So you know, we've been talking about this, last week, and all on Twitter and everything. But you know, Brandon and I, you know, we've been trying to get you on, and in your PR rep was Jessica.
Jessica, wonderful. We can't thank her enough for helping get
this
scheduled. So we tried to get you on leading up to Eldora, and we had it tentatively booked, but then you guys had a sponsor obligation thing come up, and she goes, I'll get him on after he gets his first win. And lo and behold, here it is after Eldora. So we met face to face at Eldora,
and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. These two crazy idiots from Detroit, I don't know who you are, but okay, whatever. I'll do your show. So thank you so much.
Yes.
And what did I tell you at the autograph session?
You said you do it.
Oh, you said you do it.
I'd do it if I won, right?
Hell yeah, exactly, yes. Right. Yeah.
Man of words.
And we appreciate that.
And I know you are, and that's actually exactly what we've been tweeting out. Yes. Matt Crafton is a man of his word. But but I don't know if you remember, I said this to you. I go, yeah, so you mean like tomorrow? Because I know you're winning tonight, so we'll talk tomorrow. So take us through the race. I mean, you know, we became, so back up just a minute, but we became huge Matt Crafton fans last year watching the race at Eldora. You ran a different line than everybody else. Everybody's tearing up their stuff up. There's 20 laps to go, and it looked like you stopped at Menards and brought some cleaning supplies, and they detailed your truck. You were running it. You run the race different than a lot of these traditional dirt track guys do. Walk us through the race.
I would just last year and the years past, I've ran the bottom a lot, and just worked on the bottom, and just made our stuff good on the bottom. This year, I focused on the top and just making the thing work on the top, and didn't put a whole lot of emphasis on the bottom. I did a little bit in practice, but at the end of the day, just kept working the top. And I figured that was going to be the place that we had to go and had to win the race, is that's where all the races have been won, up top. So I figured I had to be there.
So, Matt, take us through a little bit, if you can. You win stage one in dominating fashion. What happened in stage two? Because you guys fell off a little bit, almost to P10, P11 there, and seemed to struggle a little bit in stage two before getting back in that last leg there.
We just made some adjustments. The track started going away, and started getting slick, and I had him tighten the thing up, had him drop the track bar on the thing and do a few other little things, and I figured it was gonna go away a lot quicker than it did, and it didn't. So in stage two we were really, really bad, and so I said, let's undo everything we did there and let's just go back to where we were, and I'll figure it out and we'll be just fine. And we did.
Nice. Can you walk us through a pit stop at Eldora? Because that's a lot different than, you know, at your typical oval track, in terms of there really is no pit lane there. Can you take us through maybe some what might be difficult on pit road there?
I mean, nothing really difficult. It's actually the easier ones. I mean, there's then you got the pit road speed, just crawl down there and with no hurry, just drive down to your pit box and come down. And I mean, we literally change the tires with electric impacts and don't even use real impacts, air impacts like we do on pit stops. And yeah, they just take torque wrenches and torque all the tires and talk to the crew chief on all the adjustments you're going to make. And it's quite interesting. And it gets back to the good old days of the truck series when you used to have the halftime brakes and this, that. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what about the visibility? I mean, at the beginning of the race, it really looked like, I mean, everybody had the front of their truck was completely filled with mud. I don't know. They had to be some cooling problems and vision problems. And you experience anything like that?
I started on the front row, and the only truck I had in front of me was Friesman for a little while. So I didn't have any problems with the mud.
That's a good strategy.
That's a good strategy.
If we were back in a few rows, we might have been in trouble.
Yeah.
Matt, you've got 14 wins in the truck series, multiple championships. Where does this win at Eldora rank for you personally?
Oh, it's definitely very, very, very big. I mean, it's definitely, we'll say in the top three without a doubt, just because it's something so out of the ordinary. And I took it, and the first few years I ran a little bit of dirt races here and there, and then this year I really put a lot of emphasis on trying to figure this out and going and making my dirt program better and making me better at the dirt stuff. And I bought a dirt modified and ran about, I would say about 14 races I think I ran this year so far, and I figured that was going to help me the most. And trying to learn the dirt deal, and it helped me a ton. And I still have a ton to learn. And I'm going to go race it a few more times this year and have some fun and just keep learning. And maybe we can be a back-to-back winner at Eldora next year.
Nice. Well, is it a difficult adjustment coming off the dirt heading into a place like Pocono this weekend?
No, that's just what you've been used to. Your whole life is racing the asphalt world, and that's all I've ever done, and that's all I've ever known. And the dirt stuff is so different, racing it and learning it and trying to teach yourself all the trying to knock all the bad habits of your asphalt stuff over to dirt.
Well, and it's basically what everything you've ever been taught. Don't do that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, that's
it's hard to unbreak some of those habits because you've done all the asphalt stuff for so long.
Sure.
And it, whenever I go race my dirt car, I laugh at myself at the first part of the main event and the heat race stuff I have because I have my dirt car or my asphalt world into my dirt car and I'm terrible at it for a little while and then I start figuring it out and then I go take a few weeks off and try to figure it out again and but I understand why those guys are so good at what they do and when they come to the asphalt world where they're going, man, this stuff is so weird to drive.
I
have a few analogies for it, but we probably can't say those on air tonight.
Hey, you know what?
It's open for him, man.
Go ahead. Let's hear it. Come on, Matt.
I would say it's kind of like you wiped your behind your whole life with your right hand and said, okay, we're going to do it with your left hand now. It's just that different.
That's great.
Awesome. Just try that tonight. Just try that or tomorrow morning and try that. And now then you'll understand where I was coming from.
You're going to get a tweet tonight at about 11 o'clock. And
oh, that's great.
You know what? I made a mess.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So you know, a big change, though, from 2016 to 2017 for Thor Sport Racing. You guys had a big fire last year, and you guys are kind of limping your way through this part of the season last year.
Yeah, we were big time.
Tough times. Did I understand, did I read that Kyle Busch Motorsports helped you guys out during that time?
We bought some trucks from them, and we bought two trucks from them. That was definitely a help for sure. And we bought, I think, Cameron Haley. They bought a truck for him that Kyle had won Martinsville with, and then they bought a brand new truck as well.
But you guys were working out of parking times. Lots and stuff, and
literally,
wherever.
Yeah, literally for the first little bit, we were working on parking lots, and the whole community of Sandusky was unbelievable how they stepped up and gave everybody at Thor Sport. Places to work in corners of their shops and areas of their shop. Pegasus Race Trailers was unbelievable. They cleaned out a big area and we had all our fab shop there. We had five shops in four different locations and these are not like literally across the street. They were 5 to 10 miles from each other.
Oh, no
so
kidding.
You would get one thing down on the one truck and then you got to take it over to this other section where you used to be able to roll across the shop. Now you've got to load it up in a trailer and go drive it 10 miles and you just didn't have the areas and all the tools to work with.
Sure.
That you did at our race shop.
Now, the fire started in the metal fab shop or?
In the suspension room. Yep. Started in the suspension room and it went into the hard fab area. And the machine shop went into paint, just started in the paint area. Wow. But at the same time, they wiped out the whole shop for quite a while.
Well, you guys didn't miss a beat. All credit where credit's due. Great team. You guys, kept pushing through and you just keep getting better. So congratulations to you guys for that. But so I got to ask one more question. All right. So I know you're short on time. So, all right. So I wake up tomorrow morning. I go on Twitter. I go on Yahoo. And Matt Crafton is the new president of NASCAR. What's the first thing that Matt Crafton does as the president of NASCAR?
Change up the schedule.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. Amen. I've been preaching that all year.
What would you change?
Just go to different places. I truly believe. I think a lot of our fans are just somewhat bored at going to the same racetracks each and every week. Add some different road courses. Road courses are so popular right now.
Yes, they are.
Places that have sold out have been the road course. Let the truck series go to more road courses. Let the cup cars go to more road courses, and maybe put in two dirt races. And go to like your old, your Milwaukee's, your Memphis. You've got so many really awesome racetracks that are sitting out there. Then you know how many people would be so excited to go to some of those places that they haven't been or it's been so long for them to be. I went to Mansfield, the asphalt track that now it's dirt, and went to the dirt race the other night. And that place was absolutely packed.
Absolutely. And awesome. Just, yeah.
just go to things I had and just make stuff a little different.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Now, right now it seems like the dirt tracks and the road courses are hot.
Absolutely.
Very, very popular. And that's what I said the other day in one of my tweets, is put some more dirt on some of these racetracks. and that was just not saying, okay, do we don't need to make them all that way without a doubt. It's just saying, just make things a little different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt,
and
you want to...
You can't just have vanilla and chocolate all the time. Sometimes you got to have a little bit of Rocky Road and...
Hell yeah. It's another Matt Crafton analogy right there. Matt, you want to plug your sponsors for Pocono this weekend?
Just looking forward to it. And Chris Menard's Toyota Tundras. I mean, we've last couple years have not been too great for us at Pocono, but when I first went there and didn't have any experience, I ran my best. So the longer I've been going to Pocono, the worse I've got. So hope this Menard Show Tundra will be good.
Hell, you know, yeah. What a good friend of mine told me, when you're having trouble at a track like that, use your left hand.
There you go.
Words of advice, yeah. Right there. So hey, Matt, thanks man for taking so much time. We're just a couple independent dudes out of Detroit, but you know, we're fans, and thank you for backing us up. You said you'd do it. You did it. You are a man of your word for sure, and we really appreciate it.
All right, sounds good. Thank you again, appreciate it.
Thanks Matt.
Matt frickin' Crafton.
We called it. That was the best part. And you know what's cool? He's like, hey, we make it to Homestead, you guys are coming down. And we had this conversation. Yeah. Like, we're going to Homestead, dude.
Oh, we'll go. He'll have us freaking riding around in the back of a pickup truck during driver intros.
You'll know who we are. All right.
That was very cool.
Good run, too, man. He absolutely killed. You know, it's cool that he's like, all right, this is a place where I can make up some ground.
Yeah.
And he's taking it seriously. He bought his own car. He's doing his own thing and learning it. And left-handed or not, he's right-handed, left-handed, chocolate or vanilla
right? Rocky Road.
Rocky Road, yeah, he's doing it. So,
and first win of the season, going in some crazy into the home stretch of the truck series, those guys run I think they run 26 total races, where Cup, for example, runs 26 just in the playoffs, time was ticking down. Granted, they were up there from a standings point, but you want that win, you want those points,
you want to get in there.
Yeah
It was a great race. I gotta tell you, man, it's the one thing that really impressed me. Like Christopher Bell, obviously, no that's who I picked. To win, I mean, he's so good on the dirt. He spins on his own.
Yeah.
He gets hit hard in the right front. His crew, fortunately, they didn't break anything. His crew made some great adjustments. And what they did is they overcorrected on the left side to pull in the toe on the right side. And the truck would steer semi-properly. And he had a good run. He
totally
put it together.
Yeah.
So, he had still got Johnny Sauter out front, who openly will admit, I don't understand dirt, and I still don't get it, but it's hard to argue. He's still out front.
Well, and speaking of Christopher Bell, Tony, you and I noticed right from the get-go at the end of stage one when he got caught up in that wreck, they were running. The one thing that annoyed me about the first half of that Eldora race was the amount of caution laps that they ran at a dirt track. Are you kidding me? Well, he knew. I mean, he had a tire scraping on the fender. I mean, but he limped around the track for 5 laps, waited for the end of the stage, which they knew was going to be under caution,
and came in and fixed it.
The
timing was good.
Flawless. Like, they could not have asked for it to work out any better than what it did.
Yep. So our top 5, Johnny Sauter, Christopher Bell, Chase Briscoe, Matt Crafton, and the rookie, Grant Enfinger.
Yeah.
And John Hunter Nemechek's pretty fast.
Yeah.
He's, he was right there, too. He had a good run.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
But, always love watching those guys. And next week, trucks are at Pocono.
Yes. Now, you know who else is at Pocono?
Who's at Pocono?
Our friend Natalie Decker's running Pocono.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. And we got to get...
We got to make sure we keep up on that.
Decker on Ellen.
I know, right? I don't think it's happening.
I did tweet her.
It was worth our effort.
I did tweet her. No, we're still rooting for Natalie.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Love all this young talent coming through. crew. They're so passionate. They're so fast.
Yeah.
And I love every second of it.
No, it's out of control, man. It's really crazy. Over to the Xfinity race. Tony, it was an interesting Xfinity race in that they switched up the package a little bit. We talked about that with Cole a little bit there at the beginning of the show. Tony, what'd you think of the Xfinity race there?
I thought it was a good package. I got to be honest with you, man. For a first swing at it, pretty good. Always can be tweaked, but I thought overall we didn't have that runaway winner, you know, where the haves and the have-nots get really separated on a track that size. I thought it brought it together. I didn't think it was bad. And Cole, you know, sounded
very pleased with the whole thing there a little bit. So, you know, the interesting thing is they did that as the guinea pigs for a potential cup change next year. But you know, and to be honest with you. We'll get to this when we talk about the cup here in a few minutes. I don't think the cups need it with the race that they had on Sunday, but that's not the typical Indy race that we're used to.
I loved the racing the entire weekend.
I did too.
To be honest with you, but I thought it was interesting. You know, it's what we talked to Cole about, but they allowed the teams to select their own rear spring.
Yeah,
which means, you know, how much do you want that spoiler in the air? Do you want to give up a little bit on the straightaway?
Yeah.
You know, but you're not going to be, you know, you're going to lose or gain in the corners. So I thought that was an interesting move by NASCAR as well.
Yeah. Tony, you and I are no strangers to a little bit of criticism to NASCAR with the cup guys in there. But I got to be honest with you, the mere fact a rookie, William Byron, has 3 wins, apparently he can handle himself out there just fine.
Boy's the real deal.
So, you know, I might be retracting my thought a little bit on that situation.
I'm not throwing any shade on anybody else out there, but I just, man, so he's got a shot at winning the Xfinity.
Legit real shot,
right?
I mean, if he's second in points to Elliott Sadler, but when they reseed, he's first.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean, yeah. So here's my thing. All right, he needs experience. Okay, I think I'm at a high level, I'm okay with that.
Sure.
But if he wins the Xfinity Series, what do you do? Do you punish him and go, all right, you got to win it twice before you get a cup ride? I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's doing
nuts.
Pretty good.
Yep.
And I think it was a very good point that Cole had is what he learns from the NASCAR Cup guys is how far you can push a car. Well, Mr. Byron seems to be on the upswing of that curve.
Yeah.
Or he's figured that out. He seems to be ahead of a lot of the other guys on that. So.
Well, that's, you know, I would have to think, you know, you get out there in a car, whether you've been racing your whole life or not, when you get in a new car, you know, you're not sure what it can do.
On a track you've never been at. Everything you could, you know, throw it against him.
Yeah.
Rookie, new car, new series, new competitors, new racers around you, new team.
He's kicking ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This does not seem to bother him.
No, no. And the sad thing, not the sad thing, but he's not even the top place rookie. You know, Daniel Hemric in 5th, William Byron in 3rd.
Yeah.
There's 4 legit Xfinity regular rookies that could go out there and win this thing.
They're in the top 7.
They're in the top 7. That's mind-boggling to me, really.
No, I think it just speaks a lot to some of the feeder series, you know, the K&Ns and the ARCAs, and it gets them
pretty developing.
It gets them pretty ready for this stuff. But, man, I don't know that I've seen a field like this of rookies that are this doggone fast.
Well, you know, and that's when I hear people say, oh, the sport, you know, Dale Jr.'s leaving, Tony Stewart's left, Jeff Gordon's left. You know, when I hear them say, oh, I'm not going to watch, or the series is headed for the shitter. Do you watch on Saturday at all?
Driver, man.
You know, like, yeah,
pick
that's
a
the
driver.
Thing. That's the thing. They're upset about the driver.
Up, man.
They're upset about the driver.
What do you think?
The
he was going to be 87 years old and still driving?
Right?
What
well,
come on. Really?
I feel you 100%. That's the thing. The competition over the next few years is going to be stellar. Like,
I'm telling you, 5 years from now, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, we're going to know these guys. These people that are pissed off about Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, and all that, you're going to get your new driver, and you're going to have someone new and fresh to root for, and the competition's going to be great.
And I remember You know, I've been around long enough in the sport. Like I remember, oh, this new Jeff Gordon guy. Oh, I hate this guy. Well, you know, he turned out pretty good. You know,
I'm glad you said that.
Give these guys a break.
I'm so glad you said that. All right. So when Jeff Gordon came into it, I was, you know, a fan at that point in time. You know, I became a real fan in the early 2000s. Is Kyle Busch the Jeff Gordon of the 90s and 2000s?
No.
No?
Why?
In terms of people in the response, like, Jeff Gordon goes out, oh, everybody loves him. But when Jeff Gordon first came in, I get the impression of a Kyle Busch analogy there
because
with those guys.
I think it's different because Jeff Gordon came in, he was one of the early West Coast guys.
Right.
You know, yep. He was different. He looked different. He went right.
He talked.
He enunciated. Right. You know, he didn't fit in. He was a square peg in a round hole, but clearly he was fast. And he gained the respect of the top guys, you know, Dale Sr., you know, among them quickly. So I think it's different. He came from, you know, a different land.
Sure.
You know, and that's, I think that maybe that's different. But
so I asked you that question to ask you this question.
Yep.
Kyle Busch made the remarks after the Xfinity race. They wanted to slow down the fastest guy here so the rest of the field could keep up, and they did. Is there any truth to that, Tony?
Yep.
And do you think that there's a reason to do that, or was NASCAR at fault for that?
No, I do. I think there's absolutely, because it's a have and the have-nots. I mean, when Joe Gibbs Racing puts together a car and they put Kyle Busch in it with the aero package and just let him run free on Indianapolis Motor Speedway, hell yeah, he's going to run away and hide. So they leveled the playing field.
Sure. Sure.
Is what they did. I don't think they said, let's punish Kyle Busch.
Right, right.
But
it wasn't a personal vendetta against him specifically.
I think it was just a thing where they, you know, let's tighten this up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and it worked.
Totally.
I mean, I know Kyle feels that he was
wronged a little, maybe.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's the first time that's happened. Never heard that before. But anyways,
we digress.
We digress.
Yes.
So they're off to Iowa.
Yes.
Again, I like that race.
It was a good race.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So, no, I am too.
Yeah, want to hit too. Some social media?
I do. Everyone, make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Check out our fantasy results on there. Check out who's coming up on the show on there on the homepage. Drop us a line through the contact us pictures. All that's out there on our website. That's updated weekly. So make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Make sure you listen to us on iTunes or Podbean. Search The Lap Traffic. Subscribe, download, leave us some comments there. That'd be awesome. We'll have a new contest up in a few weeks, maybe when we get back from Michigan. Tony and I got a genius idea as we were walking into the driver's meet and greet at Eldora, and we're just going to leave it at that until we come out with it.
Good price.
Real good.
Yeah.
Some shout outs to some new followers over on Facebook. Ray Randy from Paris, Tennessee, big number 4 fan. Welcome to the show. Quentin Diaz from Louisiana, big number 3, 13, and 18 fan.
That would be Louisiana.
Louisiana, yes. Tony, on Monday night at Eldora, sitting there drinking, I decided to do a Periscope. And camping in front of us were 3 big block modified teams. And I went over and talked to them live on Facebook, or on the Periscope.
I saw that.
So Cody Blue, Josh, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Hoffenfrost, Sean Pegman, all ran the big blocks, and Tom Collin, president of the New York State Stock Car Association. We got to meet those guys and hang out with them, and it was great.
Tom was cool. He came over a couple times, and we talked to him, and they put on a great show.
Those big blocks. I loved those big blocks.
Yeah, they really do.
It was funny, Tony. We talked about it. You sit out there and listen to 20 big blocks at 900 horsepower, 30 trucks going through at what, 750, something like that. Sounded quiet.
Measly 750.
Yeah. Those big blocks turned about 7 seconds a lap faster than what the trucks were doing, and they kicked up a lot of dirt. But anyway, so it was great to meet those guys and get them on Periscope, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, good dudes.
Over to Twitter, Christine Stewart at CopInDisguise24, big Tony Stewart fan.
All right. So right there, Christine, you got to pick a new driver. No 24, no Tony Stewart. You know,
Chase Elliott, maybe.
Cole Custer's coming up.
Cole Custer's coming up.
Yeah,
that's
Chase
right.
Elliott's there.
Let's see. Tracy Johnson at TT Far Away from Indiana, who we met at the tweet up at Eldora.
Yep.
Drew Bergerman at DrewBag233 from East Grand Rapids, Michigan. Another Michigander, big 42 fan. And NASCAR Dad at SWALGIN87, big 88 fan. So welcome to the show, all of our new followers.
Yeah, welcome,
make sure
guys.
You tell your friends.
Welcome to the check us Traffic
out.
Nation.
Hell yeah. Check out our website and make sure you check out our store. We got some cool t-shirts and stuff like that out there if you want to help support the show. We appreciate it. Stickers and koozies. I've got some requests for our second batch to send out. I'll get those out in the next week or so. So give me a little time on that, and we'll get those out to you. Were you at Eldora? Send us some pictures. We'll put them up on our website. We'd love to see some of your pictures.
You're going to Iowa?
Hell yeah.
Let's see the pictures.
Let's see it. Tony.
Yeah. And if you guys want to send us anything, we always appreciate getting stuff in, which we get occasionally. We like getting
Hugh sent us another thing this week,
which
was very nice. Yes.
We're cleaning his.
we're cleaning his hero cards out.
Man. No, always cool stuff. There was a Natalie Decker in that last one.
There was something.
Yeah. Yep. Some really cool stuff. Hey, but if you want to send us something, you can find us at the Lap Traffic Podcast, Post Office Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072.
Yes, sir. Tony, it was a bad week for most of our fantasy players out there, man.
Well, you know what? It was a good race. I mean, until about 10 to go, and then it turned into the Indianapolis Demolition Derby.
Yes, it did. It did.
It was bad.
Yes. No one picked the 5 car. I don't know if that's not surprising or not. No. A lot of people missed with the 42, the 18, and the 48.
Yeah, the 42 is who I had, and he was doing real good till Mr. Dillon had other plans for
him. Yes. Rich now has a sole lead in first with 145 points. Cody is in second with 140. Aaron is in third with 135. Colby and our crew chief, Tony, are in fourth with 120. We have a five-way tie for fifth with 115 with Wes, Chris Coble, Mick, Chad, and Kevin. The professor is on a move up to ninth, all right? Up to ninth.
Only a half
I'm
a
coming.
Lap down.
I'm only a half lap down, all right? I am on a mission here. So everyone, make sure you get your picks in for Pocono. And again, big thanks to everyone that came out and saw us at Eldora, either at the site or the tweet up. That was a ton of fun.
You know how cool it was just hanging out in the campsite, hanging out with the PETM guys.
It's awesome.
And just people coming up.
You want to know what was even cooler?
What was cooler?
To walk into air conditioning in the RV.
Oh, my gosh,
oh my
man.
God, it was hot out there.
That was better.
Oh.
Yeah, that was better for sure.
Yes. Oh, we forgot to mention, our buddy Steve joined us, too.
Steve Merrick, our battery guy,
yes.
Our resident battery expert,
yes.
Also in studio.
Yes, he is in studio tonight.
He
was there in Eldora.
He
made one appearance on social media when we all flipped off Ashley Stang on video.
Oh, he did. I never saw that, actually.
Oh, no?
I didn't see it live.
I think it was just tweeted out, but I'll send that to you. I'll tag you in that. Yeah, that was crazy. One.
All right, you want to talk some cup?
I do want to talk some cup. Let's talk cup. Man, Casey Kane. Wow.
Didn't see that one coming.
No, sir.
I know the PETM guys.
Oh, they are ecstatic about that one, and congrats to them because that one came out of left field, and that could change the spectrum for Hendrick for 2018.
Well, and it does, but, you know, here's the thing. Hendrick, I mean, always a good team, right?
Yeah.
They're not killing it this year.
No.
I mean, they just aren't. They're just off by a half a click. Truthfully, the Ganassi guys are faster.
Yes.
You know, Jimmy's run well.
Yeah.
Casey gets his win. You know, Chase isn't there.
No.
I mean, you know.
Well, he's getting top tens, but he's not got that explosion win like we would have thought he would have gotten before Ryan Blaney, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
For Casey, it was good. I mean, especially watching, you know, Chase blow up, Jimmy blow up, you know, that had to be in the back of his mind. So, I mean, they're pushing hard, but he did.
He took advantage of the situation that was laid in front of him.
And he killed it.
And he took 100%.
He absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yep. Congratulations to Casey.
Absolutely. So, Tony, the last win of Kyle Busch was the Brickyard 2016. It's now been a full year since Kyle Busch has gotten a win. I'm shocked by that.
Oh, it's Goodyear's fault. It's Martin Truex's fault. It's Lugnut's fault. It's
We didn't win any. No new Kyle Busch fans there.
But no, I mean, no, you're right. I mean, clearly he's fast. It's going to happen. I mean, he's going to make, you know, whatever. He's a force to be reckoned with. All kidding aside, I mean, you can't take away facts,
no, he's
right?
Fantastic out there.
You know, he's been a little...
I was surprised to see how that wreck with Truex evolved. Like, they're out there racing for the lead, and they, you know, take each other out there.
They were playing pretty nicely together.
Yeah.
And I think then they got to the point where they were side by side, and they dove in a little hard, and I don't think they had fully pushed side by side and didn't know what they were in for. And to his credit, I mean, Truex raised his hand. It was my fault completely.
Yeah.
Clearly, when you're leading the race, you're not trying to wreck yourself.
No.
That was not a plan to wreck yourself and your Toyota teammate or anything else.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was definitely not an ideal situation.
No. Tony, put it on the calendar. Martin Truex Jr. did not get a stage win.
Wow. Yeah.
Whoa. I know. What was the last time we said that?
No, that's been a minute. Wow.
I thought that was interesting. Tony, I thought the race was pretty good, aside from the delays from the caution and the rain.
I did, too. You know, I liked what Xfinity did.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's necessary right now with the Cup guys. I think it was pretty good. I think they could tweak that just a touch or something. It was not bad.
No, I thought it was...
It was shaping up really good until like 10 to go, and then it turned into the Indianapolis Demolition Derby.
Yeah.
Hamlin blew up and Johnson blew up and umpteen cars wrecked.
And props to DiBenedetto, Chris Buescher, and Dinger all getting top 10s. Took advantage of some of those bigger guys having bad days and going out there getting the job done.
Kept the nose clean, stayed on the lead lap, did what they're supposed to do. They did their job. That was
Danica. Brought home an 11th.
She did.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, hey, that's awesome. You know, that's doing what you're supposed to do. Take advantage of those types of situations.
You know who
there.
I do want to mention came in 12th place, Cole Whit.
Hell yeah.
In as TriStar Motorsports. So that's TriStar was his in JJ Yaley, who we had on.
Yep.
TriStar, he does.
He got a top 15, I think, too. Yeah.
For in the Xfinity series. But TriStar Motors. Is owned by Mark Smith, who just we just lost this.
Oh week. Yeah, oh so, yeah, very yes.
So our thoughts are with them, and
absolutely,
and, he's done a ton for the sport, and hopefully, you know, these guys continue on, and but it was a big loss, for the sport.
Very big.
But Cole Whit to bring Cole Whit, home,
and JJ finished 15th in Xfinity.
He did,
truck.
But, yeah,
not cup,
but that's
not
what
cup.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So both of them were
both
top 15 runs out of that camp. So, good runs for them for sure.
Absolutely. Tony, so we're through 20 races, and we've got 13 different winners. We've got 6 races to go before the playoffs. Kyle Busch, Jamie McMurray, Chase Elliott, Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer, and Joey Logano are all in the top 16 right now without wins. And we got a couple guys outside of the top 16 that have wins that are going to knock some of these guys without wins out of the playoffs. Tony, who gets a win? Who doesn't get a win with these last 6 races? Let me just hit you with these real quick. We're going to Pocono. We got Watkins Glen, MIS, Bristol, Darlington, and Richmond left before the playoffs. What's your thoughts this last 6 races here?
Well, you know, it's got to be tough to keep the 18 out. I mean, he's pushing harder and harder and harder and harder. And Gibbs, quite frankly, they're getting better.
Yeah.
Right? So you got to give that. Watkins Glen, I mean, it's also hard to say, you know, A.J. Allmendinger is not going to be part of this conversation, too.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of moving pieces to this.
There's
I don't know how
be...
this is all going to shake out. But man, I'm going to tell you, it's going to get interesting real fast. Yeah, and then the old 88.
He's still in the top 30. So if he gets a win, he's in the playoffs. That's someone else that's going to get knocked out. So right now we're looking at guys like Clint Bowyer, 11th in the standings, not make the playoffs.
Yes, Joey Logano, who was killing it at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. He's not even in the top, or he is. He is 13th. Yeah, 13th. But yeah, there are a ton of guys that may not make the playoffs that I would have penned in as, no problem. I like that. I love the fact that we're getting all these different winners. Yeah, if we could get 17, I'd be happy as hell.
I agree. But honestly, like Logano is a no-brainer. He'll be in.
Right. The 18.
Maybe not. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Matt Kenseth. These are guys that have a legit shot of not making the playoffs. And those guys, anyone that doesn't make the playoffs, they're going to have a name to make for themselves for those last 10 races. Typically, we see the playoff contenders winning the races. If Kyle Busch doesn't make the playoffs, I would still bet he wins one of those playoff races. Sure. So it's going to be... I'm excited for the last stretch here.
And I don't think Kyle Busch is going to have a problem with playing spoiler.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I don't think anything's going to bother him about that at all.
No, he'll go out there and...
Did you notice unusually calm interview, right? After the wreck.
Yes.
Right? Martin Truex came out. Yep, it was me. Yep. Whatever. We drove in too hard, whatever. Very calm. Did you also notice who was standing directly to his right?
Oh, the coach?
The coach. Yeah, the coach was standing right. Joe Gibbs was right dead next to him.
Yep.
Saying, all right, reel it in, buddy.
Yes, sir.
But it was good. But you got to appreciate the fire of Kyle Busch, too.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like I'm not a Kyle Busch fan.
Sure.
But you got to appreciate his talent and his fire.
Passion, whether you want passion for or against. And passion's great for the sport.
I agree.
That's what will drive things. And so from that regard, nothing but respect.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree entirely.
Yeah.
So we got Pocono.
Pocono next week.
Lots of silly season stuff.
Tony, real quick, I meant to mention this at the beginning. Everyone was kind of shocked when we did our little Eldora thing that I didn't have any notes. and everyone, there were some bets going on Twitter as to how many pages it was going to be. And 8 pages with 2 interviews, that's respectable as far as I'm concerned.
It's a full 8.
It's a full 8.
I think it was actually 9 that you squeezed in just to say it was 8.
Yeah, it shrunk the pictures of the standings and stuff like that.
You did a little bit, but that's okay.
Like
I said on Twitter, we get all these notes. Between cereal boxes and street signs, I don't know how much you think I can actually read in one day. Damn, man.
Hey, it's for my benefit.
No, it's good stuff. It
helps
it
flow.
We give the professor a hard time, but man, he does his homework for sure. It's good stuff.
Yes.
We are officially prepared every week. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Not a problem. Tony, silly season, like you said. Came out Alex Bowman to the 88. You surprised by that?
Nope.
NASCAR, considering further limits to Cup drivers in Xfinity next year. Currently, drivers with 5 or more years of Cup are limited to 10 Xfinity races, and they cannot run in the Dash for Cash or the playoffs. I think that's great. Like Cole said, it helps them learn with them being there. And obviously, guys like William Byron can go out there and win races with them out there. So maybe a little more limits would be good, but maybe nothing too extreme with that.
No, I think they should. I think they should narrow it down a little more. Maybe 2 Cup drivers.
Sure.
In there.
Sure.
Maybe something like that. Not 5.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous when Cole Custer's the highest rated Xfinity finisher, and he finished in 6th place.
Yeah.
That's insanity, right?
I got you.
So that'd be my suggestion.
Yeah.
So.
Tony, you made some references to at Eldora to Amy Earnhardt and some tweets out there. Did you wanna talk to me about that one?
You know what? I don't know. Nobody wants Junior to retire, right?
Yeah.
But again, he can't race when he's 87 years old.
Sure.
And Amy Earnhardt, like it or not, That's, you know, that's his wife, okay? Yeah. They're going to spend the rest of their life together, and she wants a healthy husband
right.
and a healthy Dale Jr.
Yep.
And a healthy Dale Jr. is good for the sport. It's good for all of us.
Yeah.
So I'm in Camp Amy.
Yeah. And Team Amy.
I mean, dude, they can suck it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You know, running the class doesn't prove anything.
No.
Didn't accomplish anything. Didn't do anything.
No.
Except open an opportunity
for
him to get hurt.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, we weren't there with Dale when he was having trouble walking. Mm-mm. Okay? You know, she was there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, she knows.
You know what I mean? Like, so she was there. So anybody who wants to disagree with that can suck it, man.
Yeah.
She was there.
Yep.
So I'm in Camp Amy.
I'm with you, my man. I'm with you. Tony, JGR says no to Kyle about racing in the Indy 500. I don't disagree with the coach at all on that.
No,
one.
I don't disagree. I think he'd be great.
It'd be fun from a fan perspective.
From a fan perspective, it'd be cool. But again,
from
man, that just
business,
all it does is open up an opportunity for him to get hurt. He's not experienced in them.
Nope.
And he's going 235 miles an hour, and the only thing that can happen
is bad. Yeah,
you know, for Joe Gibbs Racing yeah. and Toyota, and I think he'd probably do great. To be honest with you, he's a hell of a race car driver, and he can handle a car. But
how much do you think the Xfinity wreck at Daytona played a role in the coach's decision there?
I don't think it did. It's an Indy car. You're going way, way, way faster. It's a whole different animal.
Bad fast.
You know, I think it's that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
He's not experienced in those.
Sure.
He's not an open wheel driver. He's just not.
Yeah.
He's not Simon Pagenaud. He's not Helio Castroneves. And I wouldn't put those guys in a NASCAR car and expect them to win.
Sure.
So I think the only thing can happen at 230 miles an hour is bad.
Yeah. I got you. 100%. Tony, announced today, Brad Keselowski signs a multi-year extension with Penske. Oh, wow. Is anyone shocked about that one?
Yeah,
let me survey the room here. yeah, I think that was just a matter of time. Like, I had no doubt in my mind that wasn't going to happen.
Well, and we talked about this off air, but there's no ride out there that I see that's like so much better than the two car. Oh my God, I got to get in that seat.
Right.
Even the 88.
Yeah.
The 88's not as fast as the two.
No.
It's just not.
Yep.
So where was he going to go? You know what I mean? And it all makes sense. You know, we all know that Brad is fiercely loyal to Detroit. Penske is a Detroit guy. It all fits together. They're running well. They're winning. What's the conversation?
Yeah. You know, for me, after seeing Alex Bowman of the 88, Penske Brad re-signing with Penske, the silly season I think is going to get crazy because of the small amount of possibilities out there and the changes that I think might happen. If it was Saturday, I would have told you I don't think Casey's coming back to the 5, even though I know he signed through 18. I think there would have been a change there. I really do. Now with that win, a win means a lot. And
not just a win at Indy.
A win at Indy and a guaranteed playoff spot. So the worst you're going to finish is 16th, you know, where before it was looking like he was going to finish 25th, 26th. I think that changes things. And I think that reduces some movement out there and big movement. Because anyone that could have gotten into Hendrick, that's a meal ticket, you know, and that may be one less opportunity out there.
I'll be honest. I think the open rides, if you know, like I'm going to use open in as like with air quotes here.
Sure.
Open.
Yeah.
41 and the 10.
41, 10.
Stuart Haas.
Yeah.
Both options out there.
Yeah.
You know, sponsorship lagging.
Yeah.
You know, there's.
I may have to eat words at some point. I don't think Danica's back next year. I really don't.
I think
that's one open seat right there. Now, the Orange Cone mentioned a few weeks ago that there was a 4-car cup team going down to 3. You know, maybe it's Stuart Haas. Who knows? But that may be one potential or two potential seats out there where a guy like maybe Matt Kenseth can slide in there.
Yeah. Cole Custer.
Hey, who knows, right?
Cole Custer would slide right in there nicely.
Very good possibility. Tony, I want to sound off here a minute on the overtime line once again.
Oh, hell. Here we go.
So
here we go.
Now,
buckle up.
Some people got into me on Twitter on Sunday.
Earmuffs.
Yeah, right. Earmuffs. So, number one, why in the hell did we need to have a 3 p.m. start time? It's ridiculous, in my opinion. 1 o'clock. Now, from a semantic standpoint, everybody, I get that it was raining and the race wouldn't have started at 1 o'clock. I get that. But I'm looking at this from planning in advance perspective here. The race should have been scheduled to start at 1 o'clock. Okay. So that said, why did NASCAR feel the need to throw the caution? I get it, because it was dark. There was looking at some additional potential rain. I get all of that stuff. Okay. I'm well aware of all of that. I'm looking at this from a semantics perspective in that NASCAR purposely waited for Casey Kane to cross the overtime line the caution.
They did, but
and
here's the
I
thing.
Get why. Yeah, well, I 100%
they were not
get
have
why.
Any possibility of cleaning that wreck.
No, and I get that. But I look at it from the perspective of, okay, if it didn't rain and the race had started at 1 o'clock, and that same situation would have happened, I guaranteed it. If it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, NASCAR still would have done the same thing and throw that caution after Casey Kane crosses the overtime line. And that's where I have an issue with that, you know, and that's my problem.
Yeah, it needs to go away.
It needs to go away, and I honestly think there's been enough buzz, not from a fan perspective, because we're just here BSing in Twitter, same thing, but I think people within the sport are taking note of this ridiculousness of this overtime line, and I don't know if they'll go back to the old way or if they'll just make the overtime line the start-finish line, which I think would make the most sense. If you don't make it back to the line, we're lining you up an unlimited amount of attempts until the white flag is taken and go from there.
Yep, I agree. But they were running out of light.
I get that completely.
You see, NASCAR Chasm tweeted out today that they're moving the race to September next year.
Yes,
and he said, which is coincidentally is when this race ended.
Oh,
it was in September. So it was a long race for sure.
It was definitely, and like I said, I get 100% why everything played out the way it did. But if circumstances were different, they still would have done the same thing, and that's what annoys me the most.
I agree.
Tony, you ready to go to work, my man?
I am.
Let's do it. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith. All right. Welcome to another edition of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's resident Crew Chief, Tony Smith. What up?
How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for joining.
Absolutely.
Third interview tonight.
Anything for you.
Tony, Colby at KGEE61 would like you to break down the Xfinity Aero package at Indy. Why did it have the impacts that it did? Go.
Simply put, all right, so the current package, they want to make that car as slippery as possible. They just want the air to go over it, and they're going to take in just a little tiny bit of air at the bottom, just enough to keep that radiator cool, and that's it. The less air going in, the more air going around the car, the faster it is. Very simple. So what they did is, number one, they put on the plate, right, with the restrictor plate, but they put in what we used to call brake ducts. You know, we used to use them a lot way back in the day to cool the brakes. Well, they put those on each side of the radiator to force air through there, and it forced it out in front of the rear or the front tires. So what that does basically is it punches a hole in the air much bigger, like 25% bigger than what they're used to, okay? So what happens is it slows the cars down, but it also helps the guy behind you draft up on you like we used to see. These were bigger, older cars. They were higher off the ground. They weren't as aero efficient at all, but you used to see drafting and passing and slingshotting and all of that stuff. So that's the idea, was try to bring in some of that into the race. Again, you know, we've already talked about it a couple times, but the rear spring, they allowed them to select their rear spring. So good package. I was impressed by it. But that's really what it is. Just more air on the nose of the car. It just punches a bigger hole in the air.
Nice.
Yeah, so in the other part of that, so then I got a follow-up from Colby. It was like, how does the aero affect on road courses? If the car's torn up, is it as aero efficient? And the answer there is not. It's not as aero efficient, and your car can be torn up on a road course, and it won't affect you as much. Now, there's a difference, right? Sonoma doesn't have big long straightaways. Okay, Watkins Glen kind of. They have pretty long straightaways. Road America, huge long straightaway. There, it's going to make a difference. So the idea is to make it as slippery and as fast as possible. But on road courses, you still do want some downforce. So you can tear your car up a little, and it's not as aero-dependent because you're not hitting 195 miles an hour.
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Right. Can I throw in one other random?
It's your show, man.
All right, it's my show.
Radio for one. Go ahead.
No. It's funny. So the funnest nurse we know, Lori, and Stacy, our other fun nurse, on Twitter. So Lori gets home. She says, "Why do fitted sheets when you wash your sheets? Why do the fitted sheets always grab sheets and the other ones inside and one's dry and one's wet and whatever?" And Stacy said, "Well, let's ask the crew chief. I'll bet he knows." So I actually knew the answer on that one. So the water shrinks them. And by, with the heat, shrinks the elastic, it's just going to pull everything in. So, I mean, that's just, that's physics. But it was funny, because I got a crew chief.
The more you know.
On bed sheets. So
the more you know.
More useless information.
Speaking of Lori, she was at the race with us Tuesday night, and guy passed out, and she helped with EMS and all that.
Absolute
thank
hero.
Goodness she was there. It was
hero.
Crazy. So big props to Lori on that one.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So thanks for the questions, everybody.
Yes.
Even on the fitted sheets.
Fitted sheets.
That was stretching me a little bit, but that was an easy one.
There
actually.
We go. Tony, you ready for some lucky dog?
Yes, I am.
All right, who's your lucky dog of the weekend?
Got to be Casey Kane.
Has to be, right? There is no doubt about that. It has to be the 5-team.
That boy needed a break.
Yeah, and he got it.
Yep.
Yep. Tony, who are you putting a lap down?
Justin Allgaier.
Oh.
First he comes into his pits and runs over half his crew.
Oh! Oops.
And then they, and again, my air quotes, they forget to put lug nuts on his right front tire.
Oh, right, yes.
Oh, sorry, did I completely screw? I'm sorry about that. Run me over again, see how that happens.
NASCAR was okay with that one, though.
Yeah, that was weird.
Very
weird. That was totally weird. Yeah. But, I'm a Justin Allgaier fan. He's he's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Actually, we've got some mutual friends, but... man, bad, boo.
Tony, I'm putting NASCAR a lap down, but not for my usualness. Putting NASCAR a lap down for taking Tim Fedewa's hard card away for dropping sandwich.
Tim Fedewa.
Fedewa.
Oh, yeah.
For dropping a sandwich.
Yeah, he was.
Seriously?
They were officially pissed.
They were like, are you kidding me?
I don't know. I read different things, but like he threw a sandwich to another spotter.
Yeah.
And they fumbled it.
Yes. Yeah.
So you see, NASCAR Chasm said, it's literally cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
Oh, wow.
Today.
I heard they were pissed because it wasn't a Jimmy John's or something.
Well,
I don't know.
They'd get him and replace him a sandwich freaky fast. It wouldn't be a big deal. Yeah, but man, really?
Yeah, I know.
It's a sandwich,
ridiculous.
Bro. I mean,
yeah, right.
There's nobody there.
It's not like they were throwing rocks.
It was practice. Nobody was there.
Practice?
And not like they.
We're talking about practice?
Yeah. But I mean, it's not like he meant to do it.
Right? Yeah.
It was not, he wasn't shooting sandwiches out of a air gun or something.
No. Anyways.
Apparently, cooler heads prevailed and things.
Card was returned.
My gosh, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Tony, over to some listener picks. Kevin. His lucky dog is Casey Kane for winning at Indy. His lap down is whoever is in charge of start times. Why would they have 3 p.m. start times at tracks without lights? Which is a good call.
Truthfully, that's actually a good point.
That's a really good assessment there. Hugh at Bucky 515's lucky dog is Casey Kane.
Seems to be a popular opinion.
I think so. Lap down, another BS NASCAR delayed caution finish. Andrew at KHANTZIAN. His lucky dog is Indy for the best Brickyard 400 in years. We agree.
I wouldn't agree. Yeah, I wouldn't say. I would disagree with that. Jeez, man.
Right.
Spit it out. I'm breaking in a new set of lips. Sorry about that. I wouldn't disagree with that.
There we go.
Good call.
Tony, his lap down is interesting. Any bubble driver without a win is a lap down for him. I like that one.
It's on the 18 and the 22 and some of those days.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yeah.
He's right.
Jeff at Gray Wolfpack 5. Lucky dog, Kyle Busch, for giving an actual classy post-wreck interview. Lap down is the 11 for not...
Funny how that works.
I know, right? His lap down is the 11 for not allowing Casey to control the restart. At least karma threw its own black flag.
Yep.
Rich at ZIMPR's lucky dog is Timmy Hill for finishing 14th. And his lap down is the 78 for making it an interesting show.
Nice.
Bruce at Sim Racer 1018, lucky dog Casey Kane on pit road when Kurt wrecked, and his lap down is the 95 for turning Bane and wrecking a bunch of cars.
Yep.
The
restarts are so tough. That's really when they make their
absolutely
passes.
Yeah.
You know, Brad's talked about that before, and if you're Michael McDowell, man, dude, your only chance of passing, you know, one of the top tier cars, you got to have a hell of a restart.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard to knock it. You know, he's got to be aggressive.
Yeah.
He's got to drive a little harder. But, unfortunately, didn't work out exactly right.
Yep.
But.
And our last one here from our buddy Mick at GoDucks42_Mick. Lucky dog, Casey Kane. Lap down, NASCAR and their inconsistent lug nut rule. One, you got to miss one missing post-race is fine, but five missing during race is legal.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Tony, some odds.
Odds.
Tony, I forgot to do them for last week, so I don't have any to compare, but I got my odds set for Pocono here.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what they should have been. I'd go with Casey Kane.
Yeah.
That would have been my number one.
Yes, yes.
Right there, Matt Crafton at Eldora.
Yep.
I had these down a couple weeks ago. I don't remember where I put those notes, but
I'm putting Martin Truex at +500, Kyle Busch at +750, Ryan Blaney, our recent winner at Pocono, I'm putting at +1000, Kevin Harvick, I'm also putting at +1000, and our recent winner Casey Kane, I'm putting at +2500. Tony, our picks with the PETM guys, we're creeping back up. We're now 5-3. We narrowly beat them out this week. Tony, you
seriously?
Tony, you had the 42 who finished 28th.
Yikes.
I had Joey Logano who finished 4th, and they had the
Sherwin with Brad. Huh?
Brad and Martin Truex who finished 33rd. So our average just inched them barely there. So we're now 5-3. Against them, so we're almost there. We're almost to 500. Who's your pick this week, there, sir?
Man, this is a super tough one for me. But you know, I'm gonna go with Bad Brad. We're gonna go with the Blue Deuce.
Blue Deuce. You might be running out of times to use the Blue Deuce there,
I'm
my
getting
man.
Close.
You're getting close.
I'm getting close, but
yes.
I'm still there.
Tony, I am.
You know
going,
what? If I'm not, we'll go back and look.
Yes.
If I'm not, I'm not gonna go over.
Yes.
I'll double check.
Okay. You got a backup? You want to give me a backup just in case?
I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin.
Denny Hamlin. I like that. Okay. Tony, I am going to go with the 48 of Jimmy Johnson. I think that might be one of my last times of using him, too. So there you have it. Tony going with Brad Keselowski with Denny Hamlin as a backup. And I am taking Jimmy Johnson. And we look forward to hearing who the PETM podcast select there. Tony. Got this show almost in the books. Episode number 30. It's been a hell of a ride, man.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun.
Really good.
Really good. Like really, nuts.
Like, I mean, since the last time we were here, we did an Eldora show. We've talked to Matt Craft and Ann Cole Custer.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. And Tony, next week, we got Rick Brenner, track press from MIS, joining us again.
What a good guy.
Yeah.
I can't wait. He's so entertaining. He's always got so many tricks up his sleeve. I'm really looking forward to it.
And Tony, it's been confirmed. The MIS track. They're giving us a room in the media center on Friday for practice. We're going to do a show from from MIS on Friday, race weekend in a couple weeks. We're going to try to get some people to stop by.
To interview.
Yeah, okay, we're going to try to get some people.
Get your own room.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to try to get someone else.
I was trying
on.
To understand where you're right? going with that. I really didn't know. All right, I'm glad you said that. To interview. Okay, yeah. Good. All right, good. So we should have some more interviews coming.
Absolutely. So, yeah, cool. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, cool. And thanks again, man, to big thanks to Cole Custer and Matt Kraft. And you know, we're busting on Matt a little bit at Eldora. He took it all in stride, you know, man of his word.
Hell
yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. I have no idea who you chuckleheads are, but yep. Hey man, I you know, said I'd do it after we won, and here we are.
Boom.
So yep. Both super good dudes. So thanks for being on the show. And as always, make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. Otherwise, you will be a lap down. See you next week.
See ya.